Well, today is the next in our sermons on our theme we're holding up this year about holy wholeness. And today I talk about the importance of living a life that is spiritually well balanced. But to begin with, if you want to get Pastor Heidi really riled, if you want to get a reaction out of Pastor Heidi, just say this to her. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. You love that, don't you? A lot of people say that today. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. But the question is, what do they mean when they say that? Do they mean, what is it? What goes on in their hearts and their minds? Do they mean that I meditate? And when I meditate, that's how I find my spirituality. Do they maybe find their spirituality by staring at a beautiful mountain or a stream or a sunset? And if they do, how does that give them spiritual well-being? Do they read books on spirituality? Go to a bookstore sometime and just walk over to the New Age spirituality section and you will see probably hundreds of books there. Do they find spirituality by communing with other people who maybe think or feel as they do? Do they find spirituality by crystals, which have magic powers? Our daughter Hannah works at the gem shop in downtown Cedarburg. And just yesterday at lunch, she was saying, I can't believe how many people come into the gem shop asking, what is the material well-being? What is the power of this rock or this crystal? And Hannah just wants to say, it's a rock. There's nothing there. Do you find your spirituality like Jay Pritchard on Modern Family does, who finds it on the golf course on Sunday morning? Or perhaps does your spirituality, or do you know someone whose spirituality comes from seeking a psychic's advice or perhaps reading their horoscope? Some people, they find their spirituality in reclaiming ancient dead cults. Thousands of people gather every year at Stonehenge in England to celebrate the solstice, reenacting the ancient Druid activities. When we were in Egypt 20 years ago, we were at the temple at Karnak and we walked by this woman who was standing in front of an Egyptian statue like this, and our guide kind of shook his head and said, she's channeling dead Egyptians' power. That's where some people find their spirituality. Some people, they're not really sure what they're looking for, but they know they will not find it in organized religion. I'm spiritual, but I don't want anything to do with organized religion. Because organized religion, I don't want someone telling me what to do, telling me how to live my life, telling me how to think. And I've always thought, well, if you don't like organized religion, come to Grace, because sometimes we practice really disorganized religion around here, don't we? And some people, it might be, if you can't read what the guy's saying in the comic strip, he's saying, I'm in the market for an easier religion. Some people are perhaps spiritual because they're just looking for something simple. I like to call that salad bar religion. Okay, you know what happens when you go to a salad bar. There's all kinds of good things to choose from. And you can pick this and you can pick that. So I go and I love the lettuce, love the mushrooms, love the cucumbers. Green peppers, call them icky green things. Stay away from those. So I pick and choose what I want from a salad bar. That's what a lot of people do when it comes to faith. They pick and choose what it is they like. They pick and choose the things that are easy or convenient or they agree with, which is nice and fun, but is it really doing any good? Simple fact is, lots of people are looking for spirituality. Lots of people are looking for spirituality because most of us, in some way, shape, or form, we are looking for something which will give our life meaning. And as we at Grace, if this is the first time you've seen one of these sermons, we're holding up this, it's called a wellness wheel. This is what we're holding up all year long as we talk about having spiritual, or having a holy wholeness about ourselves. But you can see that it is spiritual well-being that encircles and encompasses everything else. Spiritual well-being is very important for us as Christians. But unlike people who find their spiritual well-being staring at a mountain or holding a crystal or going to a psychic, we as Christians, the beginning of our spirituality comes from one place and one place only, and that is the baptismal font. Because it is at the baptismal font that we are born again as children of God. Little Charlie Joe comes to that font this morning to reborn. It is at the baptismal font that you and I, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, which God gives to each one of us. when Charlie Joe is baptized in a few minutes, we're going to pray these words over her. We're going to pray that God will pour His Holy Spirit upon her, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in His presence. That's the Spirit we pray that she will have in her life, that she knows that spirituality is not something you find on your own quest, but spirituality is a gift from God because He is the one who pours His Spirit into our lives. That's what happens with Jesus. When Jesus is baptized, God gives Him the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're told in the Gospel that as He comes out of the waters of baptism, the Spirit descends upon Him in the shape of a dove. And it's filled with that Spirit and led by that Spirit that Jesus then goes into the wilderness, and there He begins His temptation. And as we look at the story of Jesus' temptation, I'm going to hold up a number of key things that you and I should know and keep in our hearts and our minds about what it is to be spiritually well-balanced from what Jesus teaches us. The first thing we see in today's story is that when Jesus is baptized, He goes off into the wilderness and He goes off to fast and to pray. He's not on a diet. Fasting has always been a religious way of purifying yourself, of being prepared for something. It is important for us to know as Christians that whenever Jesus had something important to do, whenever He faced a great challenge in His life and His ministry, He went off and He prayed. He took time to be in sincere and deep prayer with the Lord, seeking God's will in His life. You and I, if you want to be spiritually well-balanced, we need to spend time in prayer. Not just a passing prayer, not just the come, Lord Jesus, be our guest kind of prayer. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to develop the holy habit of prayer. And after that time, the devil comes to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, who has not eaten anything for days and days, "You look hungry." Well, if you're the Son of God, and he starts every temptation with that word, if. If you're the Son of God, you know what, Jesus? Take these stones and command that they become bread. He tempts Jesus to look after his physical needs first and foremost and to forget his spiritual needs. But how does Jesus respond to the devil? He says, "One does not live by bread alone." He reminds him and all of us that true life comes when we are faithful to God's word. So here's a rule. If you want to be spiritually well-balanced, you know what you have to do? You've got to get your priorities straight. Because you have to ask yourselves, what is motivating me in my life? What is the foundation of my life? Is it something that's just me oriented? Or is it something that is deeper and more godly? The devil takes him to the second temptation right away. He takes Jesus up on a mountaintop and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and he says, "They're mine, Jesus, and I'll give them to you if you just fall down and worship me." Again, here Jesus faces another temptation you and I all face, and that is to take the easy way out, to trust in something that is really not trustworthy. And unfortunately, far too many people, that's what they do in their lives. They trust in something that does them no good. But how does Jesus respond? He says, "You are to only worship the Lord your God." Here's another rule for us to all remember in our spiritual quest. And that is this. You want to be spiritually well-balanced, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart. We just heard those words a few weeks ago in one of our messages. God doesn't want 20% of us. God doesn't just want 50% of us. God wants all of us. And when we give ourselves completely to God, then we start to catch on about what it means to live with God and for God. Well, two temptations down, but the devil's not done. And he takes Jesus and he puts him on the temple, the top of the temple in Jerusalem, and says, "Jump off. Jump off and everyone will see what will happen. God even promises you, Jesus." The Bible even says his angels will come and they'll catch you. What a great way to show the world that you are who you say you are, says the devil to Jesus. And how does Jesus respond? You don't put God to the test. So here's the next rule if you want to be spiritually well-balanced in your life. Don't play games with God. where God's not there to negotiate with us. God, if you do this for me, I'll do this and this and this for you. Or God, if you just overlook it this time, I'll do this and this next time. That's not how it works. God is not there for us to play games with. God is there for us to love and trust and honor. We need to make sure we do that in our lives. Because how does the story of the temptation end? With this verse, that the devil leaves Jesus, but he leaves him for an opportune time. The next time the devil comes back in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 22, when the devil goes into Judas Iscariot and leads him to betray Jesus. Because Jesus' greatest temptation will be the temptation he faces the last night of his life in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he is tempted to not be faithful to God and die for the salvation of the world. But Jesus is up to that temptation. And what does he pray that night? He prays, "Heavenly Father, help me to do your will and not mine." And that's why we all need to know that temptation, it's always going to be there. It's going to come, and very often it comes when we least expect it. Therefore, we always need to be on guard. In the end, spirituality is not about me. It's not about what I do or what I can find or what great mysteries I can absorb. As Christians, it is about God in me. God's power given us in baptism. God's power that lives with us and guides us in our lives. Because I think this next picture just kind of sums up very well what it means to be spiritually well balanced. It means to love God. It means to go in God's ways. And it means to serve others. It means, as the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5, we need to live by the Spirit. Because if we live by the Spirit, we are free to love and serve God and others, and we don't just live for ourselves. Paul warns us what happens when we live for ourselves. He talks about these works of the flesh, all these actions and attitudes that are only harmful. Attitudes and actions such as impure sex, such as saying everything is okay for me to do, the rules don't apply to me, such as making something else into your God or trying to manipulate things through magic so that everything is done your way. It means hating other people. It means strife. It means jealousy, anger, quarreling, breaking into little groups that oppose one another, envy, and a lifestyle filled with self-destructive actions. That's the work of the flesh, and we're not to have that. Because the work of the flesh simply says, I love myself, and what I want is all that matters. And that is a terrible way to live. A lot of people live that way, but it's a terribly, terrible and destructive way to live. Because when you live that way, you forget something very important. We are only temporary. We humans, we are but here for a short while, and we are not in charge. And we also need to remember to live that way destroys relationships. Every one of those works of the flesh is something that destroys relationships. But then Paul contrasts those horrible things to what he calls the fruit of the Spirit. It's a beautiful image. The fruit of the Spirit. Spirit-led actions. The Spirit-given attitudes that help us to live the way we truly are to live. Because Paul tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love. Not love for myself, but love for God and love for others. It is joy. And in the Bible, joy is so different from happiness. Happiness comes when stuff is given to you. But you know, if you lose the stuff, you're not happy anymore, are you? Joy is the feeling, that attitude that comes from God's love, which will never be taken from us. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Not the absence of warfare, but that feeling that comes of knowing that I belong to God. The feeling that the Apostle Paul had when he writes in a Roman prison. He's in prison when he writes about the peace of God that passes all understanding. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. If you're looking only after yourself and what you want, you're not going to be a very patient person. But to live for God means you know what patience is. It means you know what kindness is and you share it with others. That you know what it is to be generous. As opposed to everyone should do everything for me, you know what it means to be generous to others. It means to be faithful. To not flit from this to that to the other thing, looking for something that means something for me. It means to be faithful to God. It means to be gentle. And finally, it means to have self-control. To know that if you belong to God, that you've got your life in order. And what is the opposite of self-control? And do you really want to end up like that? The fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that you just consume and it's gone. The Bible never talks about it that way. In the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit always brings more fruit. It blossoms, it flourishes, it helps others. In the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit gives you hope for the future. In the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit even applies to the resurrection of Jesus, where He's called the first fruit of the resurrection. In Jesus, we see what God has in store for you and for me. And so let's all live these words of the Apostle Paul, that if we live by the Spirit, let us walk also in the Spirit. Because to be spiritually well-balanced means that you have a lifelong commitment and relationship with God. Spiritual well-being. It surrounds everything else in our lives. It is so terribly important for us. And it comes in our baptisms. And little Charlie Jo, she's going to get this gift in just a few minutes. Because in the end, the goal to living a spiritually well-balanced life is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Because when you look at Jesus, He had it together, didn't He? He knew what it was to be led by the Spirit. And who among us would not want to live a life like Jesus? So may we all strive to be spiritually well-balanced, to be led by the Spirit, and to produce in our lives the fruit of God's Spirit. Amen.